Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And I think we're going to do the same thing that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, which is providing a little update. And so what's the latest update in the life of Grace?
I've been getting more consistent when it comes to my working out, which is exciting. Not only doing my Pilates 2 times a week, but now incorporating trying to run more often. I was running like once a week. I've upped it to 2 and now eventually hopefully 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Plus the physical therapy, which they have me doing strength training. And then my diastasis workouts in the morning. So pretty proud of myself for being able to like stay consistent and then build on that consistency and getting better at it.
Yeah, I've definitely been seeing you run more, which honestly, you doing your Pilates, you were doing your diastasis recti stuff, but I still wasn't like convinced, you know, like she keeps saying that she's going to run a half marathon. Mm-hmm. She's got her 2 friends to sign up for it, but she hasn't signed up for it yet. And I'm like, I don't know if she's going to run. There's been people that ask me like, oh, so did she start running yet? And I'm like, not yet. I don't know what's going on. And so, you know, today was the 2nd time this week that you ran. Mm-hmm. And I posted it on the Better Every Mile socials. And today was, hey, look at Mrs. Consistency. Like she's now believe that she really wants it, and which is awesome.
Yeah.
Today you ran the... on Monday you ran like a little over 3 miles. Today you ran a little over 3 miles again. Mm-hmm. And your time is getting better. And obviously the work that you're putting in is paying off. If you had to say a struggle from this whole process, what would it be?
Like not running, just everything?
Yeah. Like the health journey, I guess.
For me, is the timing. Trying to find the time and not, I guess, because you started first. Mm-hmm. And it's easier, I think, you working out because you've already put it into your like lifestyle. Like we just know, okay, dad, after work is going to go to the gym. And you've kind of structured your life to include working out. And then so I'm coming in and trying to work out and trying to see like, okay, what time am I going to come back? Are you, and then I feel like you change it a little like every day or something. So I'm like, okay, what time will you be back here? Can I go do this? Where will you be on weekends? Are you going to work out? No. Okay. Can I get that slot? Like that's been kind of complicated, like not knowing what tomorrow brings. Mm-hmm. And can kind of be a little discouraging. So I think like for sure, finding the time, but then once you have the time, you're like, all right, how does this fit with our lifestyle as a whole?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult trying to schedule and budget our time together. But I think, you know, the same thing is financial budgeting. The rule is it takes about 90 days to get the budget right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it'll take some time to get it right, but once we get it right. And the other thing is that we're in summer right now, so our schedule's going to look completely different than when you go back to work, and then we got to figure that part out again. But that we'll figure it out. I think we'll figure it out. And I'm honestly just glad and happy that, you know, you're getting your stuff, you're doing your stuff, and I think you're going to be so proud of yourself the moment that you cross that finish line of the half marathon. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have like a similar story than me, because I remember after I ran the first half marathon, which was the Long Beach half marathon.
Yeah.
I made this post of like, I at one point never thought I could even run more than 3 miles. And now I just crossed the line of a 13.1 mile race. And it's such a great feeling. And especially for that type of event, the Long Beach half marathon and marathon is a pretty big event. And so like the finish line, like, to see all the people, they don't know you from a hole in the wall, but all these people just cheering you on. And as you go through the route as well, but it's an amazing feeling to have all those people cheer, and then you cross the finish line and you're like, I did it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to cry, because I like almost get cheery seeing other people do it on TikTok when they're going through their journey and they're like, I can't believe it. And they're about to get cheery. And I'm like crying for strangers. And so I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm going to cry, because I was that person in PE that I would walk my little booty the whole mile. And I like made sure to tell the PE teacher, like, I'm like, I would look at them and like, I was protesting, like, I'm protesting. This is dumb. And I'd make it intentional to just talk with my friends, like waste our time. And we're like the last one. The PE coach is like, I want to get off this field, like hurry up. And so I wouldn't consider, not even now. I think hopefully we'll get to the point of enjoying running. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. I've only been doing 3 miles. Like I have to do 10.1 more, like on top of that. And so, it definitely seems something that it's far away, but I'm sure, again, little by little, I'll get there. And so I'm sure it'll be like an overwhelming feeling of like, oh my goodness, like what did I just accomplish?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is that today you were telling me that your social media has been taken over by all of the running stuff that keeps popping up for you.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like, at first it was cool because I was like, I'm getting motivated, but now I'm like trying to find my cleaning videos or like teacher content. And I'm like, what the heck? I just see running.
It's the best type of content.
But then right now I told myself, because right now, again, I'm in summer, so my budget is a little bit tight. And it's annoying because you see them and they're like, oh, you should get these shoes. And it matters the shoes you want. And I'm like, oh my God, am I like thinking about my feet? Like, I feel like they're starting to hurt. I'm like, maybe it's in my head. And I'm like, I need like a belt because David said a vest, like not to get it for whatever reason. And so I'm like, I need this and I need that. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, that's kind of annoying because I'm like, okay, I want to start getting more. But maybe it's good to practice like, okay, until I can get to 6 or 10 miles, kind of like as a treat. But I do think I should get running shoes probably before the 10 mile mark.
Yeah, it's crazy because you would think that running is like pretty much free. You just throw any pair of shoes and you go. But yeah, then you find out, hey, no, I need an actual good pair of running shoes. And it's an investment really because your feet, you need to protect your feet at all costs. Like it's what you use to walk. Like you want to protect your feet, you want to protect your knees. And so you need good shoes. And then after you realize, if I really want to be effective, then I need some sort of gauge to know where my heart rate is at, because that will also tell you how fast you should run. And that's one thing I think that right now, because today you ran like a minute faster than, you beat your whole time by 4 minutes, but you ran each mile 1 minute faster. And I was like, don't go too fast. And you're like, no, I could do it. And it's some of us have the mentality of like, just push as hard as you can every single time, but that's actually counterproductive. So it's better to run slower at the heart rate that you should be running at. And that also kind of like tunes your mind to where you're talking about, like, I'm running 3 miles and how am I going to run another 10? It's in those moments when you do those slow, easy runs where you're like, oh, I feel like I could do this forever. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're like, I feel like that's how I fell in love with running. I did the slow runs and I'm like, I feel like I could run forever. And you start like conquering that mountain of like, there's no way I can do more than 3 miles.
Yeah.
You know?
I need a watch.
You need a watch. You need shoes. You need a good pair of earphones.
I need a running belt.
And you need a running belt. Yeah. You need electrolytes. You need, when you do your longer runs, you're going to need gels as well. Yeah, so it's an investment. But yeah, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
So when is the Better Every Day going to sponsor my half? I don't even have my half marathon ticket. I need all of these. Right now I'm at ground zero. I literally just...
She's doing the training.
I'm doing it for free.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it. We'll see what's going on. And with me, I have sad news. I haven't been able to really run since Friday. I woke up Friday. I don't know what the heck happened. But my left ankle is messed up. I'm really just stumped. And I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I'm demotivated. So Friday I wake up and it feels like, you know, weird. Like I can't flex it up or down. I know what a rolled ankle feels like. This is not a rolled ankle. I went out for a run on Thursday, felt fine, so I have no idea what it is. Then I'm like, oh, maybe it's like one of those things that it just lasts for a day. So Saturday I woke up, and I still kind of felt it less. I'm like, no, there's something definitely wrong here. Sunday, I wake up, still feel a little bit. Monday, I wake up, I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel too bad. Let me go for a run and see. And I was supposed to do a nice, easy run, but I came out too fast. And I did 6 miles. At the end of it, I'm like, oh, I don't really have pain, but I did get shin splints. And then I talked to my doctor, ChatGPT, and it told me like, oh, you got shin splints because your ankle is still messed up. And so your body naturally is trying to protect your ankle and it changes the way that you're running. And that's why you got shin splints. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then Tuesday rolls around and it's hurting. And today it was messing with me a little bit. So I've been icing it. I've been elevating it. I ordered a brace that was supposed to come yesterday. It didn't come yet. But yeah, it's demotivating because I am highly motivated by progress. And that's why I feel like that's why I'm so like data driven. I have everything and I need to see progress. When I don't see progress, then I get demotivated. And when I get demotivated, I'm like black or white. We've talked about it here before. And so mm-hmm. I'm not like, oh, he's getting a little gray. It's like, no, like if I'm not seeing progress, if I'm at a standstill, if I'm losing patience, I want to throw it all away. Like I want to have like a whole jar of cookies. I want to have some ice cream. I want to just like screw the nutrition and all the discipline and everything. And so that's where I'm at right now with the mental battle of no, David, keep going, find ways to work out, find ways to burn calories, try not to lose all the gains that you've made in running. I have to let this thing rest and heal as best as possible. And hopefully, according to ChatGPT, I should be back to running within 1 to 3 weeks. Hoping it's sooner rather than later because I am 16-ish weeks away from my first full marathon. And the goal is to do it under 4 hours. And so I feel like, and that's another thing that has me twitching is feel like I'm losing precious time. I'm losing, you know, the gains. Like I was on an up trajectory on all of my data or whatever. Now, like slowly it's probably going to start coming down and then I'm going to have to recuperate and it's tough, but.
But you got this.
Yeah.
You're learning. You had to pick rest. No, I picked rest.
And that's the crazy thing. The last week we talked about that, the topic. And I, like, maybe it's just like God, like, oh, yeah, you talked about that topic. Like, here, take it. Now eat it. Eat everything that you said. And I'm like, I don't want to.
Yep. You have to practice what you preach.
Because, yeah, I was trying to work out. I was working out basically like 7 days a week. And so. Yeah, this is me having to learn the things that we talk about in real life. Yeah. But that being said, today I wanted to talk about something that I thought we should have talked about a while ago, but we are now in season 2, episode, I believe, 17. And I kind of like scrolled really fast and I didn't see the topic, which is vulnerability. We haven't talked about vulnerability, and we've mentioned it here and there, but we've never really like dedicated a whole episode on it. And I think it's very important to talk about vulnerability. And to be honest, I don't even know if this one episode is going to be enough. It might have to be a two-parter because we are going to try to keep it to an hour. But I think it's an important topic. And when we're talking about the better every day, that we want to be better every day, part of being better every day is practicing vulnerability, which is not easy for a lot of people. But you know what? The one thing that kind of got me to thinking about this or like kind of focusing more on, hey, we should do an episode on this, was we have a friend that one of these days, like a month or so ago, invited me into a process that he's doing. And he invited me into the process and he was just like, David, I want you to come by, take a look at everything and let me know. Let me know where you could see improvements. Let me know where, you know, where the process can be improved, where anything can be improved. And so that in itself, I thought that's pretty vulnerable. Like when I've been in like jobs, corporate jobs, where they do audits every so often and everyone just gets so tense around audits because audits is like you're taking a magnifying glass and you're seeing like, where is there an issue? Mm. Where do we need an improvement? And you know, when auditors come, well, the ones that I used to like have experience with, they always kind of like try to like have a friendly type of feel to them. Yeah. Where they're like, hey guys, like, listen, we're not here to kick you. We're not here to make you feel bad. We're here to just show you where you can have improvements. And hopefully next time that we come by, we can see those improvements. Like, we're here to help. We're just a fresh pair of eyes, right? But people still like, who likes to be told, or who likes to show all of their mistakes? Who likes to show all their blemishes? Who likes to show everything? And just like, everyone gets wound up so tight. So for this person to invite me into this process, I was like, oh, wow. But the other thing that I noticed was the moment that he invited me into this process, and this might just be me, and so I'm kind of maybe overgeneralizing it, but when he told me to, like, when he invited me part of the process, I got emotionally invested. Like, I was like, oh, like, okay, I'm in it, and I'm into the, like, I'm going to step through this door. I'm going to be seeing all this process. And you know what? I want this person to win. And I want this whole process to be a winner. And so I found myself like emotionally invested, and I started meditating on it. And I'm like, how many of us desire love? How many of us desire support and encouragement? How many of us desire a group of friends or family to be around us and encouraging us and lifting us up? But we haven't truly invited them into the process. And if we did, we would get everything that we've always desired. Mm. And so that's what I got from this. Cause I'm like, wow, like the moment that he invited me in the door, I was emotionally invested. Like, I'm like, I want to, like, I'm not here to nitpick. I'm not here to kick somebody while they're down. I'm not here to just point out all the errors. I'm here to A, see all the good, and then also see the areas of improvement, and not only show them the areas of improvement, but offer solutions to it. And even after like I exited that process, I just found myself, I mean, you're part of the process, and I found myself like, oh, how's this going? How's this going? How's this going? Like I'm emotionally invested, like I'm in it. And so I'm like, what if more people were more open, were more vulnerable, were more, hey, here it is. And here's the thing. We might be jumping around a little bit, but you might be thinking like, okay, maybe we have some pessimistic people, some people that, you know, are realists or whatever. And the realists might be thinking, okay, yeah, that sounds like, you know, rainbows and butterflies, but what about opening it up to the right people? Like, who do you know who the right people are? Because how many of us have experienced something through childhood or older when we have shared something and it's been used against us, right? And then they go, well, that's why I'm never vulnerable, because it always gets used against me and I'm done, right? Like, for example, me and you, I remember at the beginning of our marriage, we were pretty toxic. Mm-hmm. We would open up to each other, and then when we get in a fight, everything that we opened up about, we'd throw it in each other's face. And yeah, that was super toxic. But no, we've learned, we've matured. And so I thought about that, because I'm like, okay, I'm somewhat of a pessimist or realist or whatever. And so I thought about that. And I think there is, to overgeneralize again, there are two types of people. There is one person that is an oversharer. They'll share it. Anything with everybody. And then there's the person that's more of like a turtle. Like every time they see somebody, they just hide into their shell, right? And thinking about those two people, I believe that the person that overshares needs to like slow down and really start filtering who are the right people to share this with. Who are the people that are really like my friends? Who are the people that really love me through my good and my bad? And then the people that usually clam up, those people I feel like should more openly share. And again, I know that you guys are scared to share the people that are like, no. But the one thing that I've personally learned from my own self is I'm the turtle that just like, I'm going to hide everything. I'm going to protect myself at all costs. But the one thing that I've learned is that through the way that I have been, there isn't much people left. And so the people that are left are the people that are your ride or dies. Like, even though you might be like, you might come across as like unapproachable, even though you might come across as a grouch, even though you might come across as like somebody who's just always on like their tiptoes, ready to like throw hands or whatever, they're still there. And so those clearly are the people that are there in the good and the bad. But my point is, vulnerability is so important. And we read a book called The Cure, and I believe it is by John Lynch. And that portrayed, that opened up my eyes towards vulnerability in an amazing way. There's a part in there that talks about masks. And it, the one part that really impacted me is we all wear masks because we want to be presentable. We want to be presentable because most of the time we don't like what we see in the mirror. And so we go, well, if I don't like what I see in the mirror, nobody else is going to like what they like, what they're seeing in me. So let me throw something on so I can protect myself from them seeing all these blemishes and all these things that, you know, aren't eye candy, let's say. Let me throw this mask on. But at the same time, your heart is like shouting and like desiring for you to like feel love. But you can never receive love when you are wearing a mask. The furthest love goes is the mask. Past that, you don't get it. And it's not until you remove the mask and you show who you really are, do you get true love.
Yeah, and that is a powerful book. I think we read it twice, and now that you brought it up again, I'm like, oh, mental note to read it again, because there's so much good, like there's so many good golden nuggets where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, this is important to apply. And then just as life goes on, we can forget. But going back to, I think that your first story where you were saying how your friend or the person like invited you in, or at least gave you this opportunity, like, oh, come check it out and see. Mm-hmm. I think that genuineness goes such a long way of like, not only, oh, come give me observations or constructive criticism, but you knowing, oh, they actually want it. They actually mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes the same way. Like when we try to put our masks down and like are ready to accept love, like I think people can usually sense like fakeness or like ungenuineness, like I'm just doing this because I want to either feel love or I don't care about you, or like it goes back and forth. And I truly do believe relationships can be scary. It's very intimidating because you can get hurt. Like that's the reality of it, is you mm-hmm. can get hurt, but that it's worth it when it works 100%. And so, and even maybe like putting your mask down and being genuine, like, hey, I'm trying to be vulnerable. Like, I'm not good at this. Like, this is, I want a friend. I think even now as adults, like I've had people tell me that, or I've told that to people, and it's so refreshing because you give them permission and you're kind of saying like, I'm awkward, and you kind of give them permission to be awkward as well. Or like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, I don't. And I think that's beautiful. And so just being genuine, I think, goes a long way. I think, getting over that fear, asking the Holy Spirit for discernment, because it is so true. There's so many people that maybe they've hurt you in the past, like over and over again, or they're not good people. Like, I'd like to hope that everyone is a good person. And I'm usually like on that optimistic side, like everyone has good in them, but ask the Holy Spirit for discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Or just be... And hopefully you can get in a point where you're so sure of yourself that if they use it against you, you're like, that's cool, but like it doesn't affect you because you're so rooted in who Christ says you are, and your close friends who truly know you because you've been vulnerable, know your heart. But yeah, I do for sure can see why that first removing of the mask is so foreign. You haven't done it before. You start feeling things that you haven't felt before, like this fresh wind. Like, what is that? that it can be scary, but embrace that uncomfortability.
Yeah. And I think, again, speaking from life experience, and this is something that I found out about myself recently. So I, as I've stated before, I went to therapy, right? And, you know, we were talking with the therapist, and I said to him, like, I feel like I've been vulnerable. And he kind of just told me, like, no, you have not been vulnerable. And, like, in my mind, in my heart, I was like, no, I feel like I've been vulnerable. And that coupled with what I've been thinking about lately with vulnerability, I'm like, there is a big difference. And this goes to myself and to people like me. I truly felt like I had been vulnerable. But then I kind of like got this picture in my head, which is, let's say there's a house, and in every house, there's a door to get in, right? And I feel like true vulnerability is you opening the door to that house. But I not only had a house, but I had a fence. And the perimeter of my fence was a wide perimeter. And so my thought of vulnerability wasn't true vulnerability of let me open the door. It was simply, let me make the fence smaller and let me let you in a little bit closer. Mm. And that's probably why I have felt like I'm being vulnerable, but I'm not getting like what I truly desire, you know, like this true connection of love and understanding and all this stuff. And it like clicked recently. I'm like, oh, like I haven't truly opened the door. I've simply just let them in a little bit closer. Mm. And that's the thing about vulnerability as well, is people have pretty good BS radars. People have a good radar if you're being genuine or not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe people had that radar on me and they're like, yeah, you sound like you're being vulnerable, but I don't feel like a true connection between me and you. Like, yeah. I feel like you're still protecting a lot of like you're not letting me in, basically. And again, like a couple months ago, I would have sworn like, no, I'm vulnerable. Like, I mean, me and you talk about like numbers and how much we make and our marriage and all this stuff. Like, and that made me feel like I'm vulnerable. I'm transparent. Like my door is open, but like through therapy, like I found out, well, there's what I found out, or what I told the therapist is like, you know what, when I think about transparency, I feel like from marriage forward, I've been pretty transparent, but from before marriage, I don't feel like I've been very like transparent or vulnerable, like about my mm-hmm. process. And I learned how to be more vulnerable with the therapist. And like, we opened up a lot of cans of worms and stuff, but that's another thing that we need to like watch out for. Like, we might truly believe that we are being vulnerable, but in reality, we have not opened the door. So the question is, what is true vulnerability?
Yeah. And well, I'll answer the question, but hopefully we get to a point, because I think it's so easy to think we're being vulnerable and we're not, because we haven't seen what that looks like. So it's a different language, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how are we expected to know it if everyone has these masks? And it's like, how are you doing? I'm good. Oh, nice. Like, God's favor is upon us, right? Like, oh, you're living high and highly favored and blessed. Mm-hmm. And everyone says like what they should be saying, like the good things people want to hear. And then it's very, very difficult and rare to hear true vulnerability. And so we're walking around and like, oh, I want to practice vulnerability. And maybe we get to, it's progress, but maybe we just get to that tip of the iceberg where there's still so much more. And we, how you said, really haven't unpacked it, really haven't opened that door. But it's difficult, especially if we haven't been brought up in that environment. And I have to like ask myself, like, because same thing, I feel like I'm pretty transparent. Like if anyone were to ask me anything, I feel like I don't think I'd lie or like protect myself. Like I'm pretty good at, how would they say, like airing their dirty laundry out. Like I've always prided myself and no, I don't mind. But you saying that, I'm like, I wonder if there's times where I think I'm being vulnerable and maybe I'm not, or yeah, maybe I'm completely off like the radar. Cause for me, vulnerability is like sharing what you truly feel or what you're going through, not being worried that it's too harsh for that person to hear, not being worried that it's going to be awkward. Like sometimes it's like, oh, they might not have the time to deal with it, so I'm just going to say I'm good. Or it might be like a pity party and I don't want that. Like you always think about how is it going to make them feel? And so out of, at least for me, like people pleasing or like maintaining this like false harmony or peace, I'm like, oh, good, 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 right? And then I think true vulnerability is not thinking about that. Like I'm going to share what I'm going through, what is difficult for me, and you're putting it out there, regardless of how they might like respond or not. I don't know. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think vulnerability is allowing somebody through the door to see everything that's in the house. And I feel like in when somebody asks, oh, how are you doing? Again, this is all about the fence and the door. Mm. Because I feel like when somebody asks, how are you doing? You're like, I'm going to practice vulnerability. Sometimes we like to control the narrative. And so we're like, well, here's a little taste of vulnerability, but I'm not going to give you the full story. And so it goes to, oh, I am being vulnerable. But really all you're doing is, yeah, you're bringing the perimeter of the fence a little closer to the house.
Yeah.
But have you opened that door? And that's the thing. Like many of us, I think, I feel like a lot of times it always goes to childhood. We've grown up like nobody wants to see your mistakes. Nobody likes them. Nobody likes them. Nobody approves of them. Nobody's going to give you a reward for them. Like if anything, you're going to get shamed. You're going to get disciplined. You're going to get all the guilt, like all these things like that are negative. Like you've been conditioned to be like, there's no way I'm going to be vulnerable with anybody. Like, like you said, like you haven't been shown what healthy vulnerability looks like. And I believe what healthy vulnerability looks like is here's all of me. And for the other person to be like, despite of anything that I see, I still love you. Despite if you have any sort of addiction, I still love you. Like, and that's where I go into like, okay, I've had a couple of instances now in this last year where people have like reached out and was like, hey, can we talk? And, you know, and never once have I heard a story or have heard somebody's life and gone like, dude, like, first of all, you're wasting my time. I'm hearing a bunch of all this garbage that you're doing in your life. Like, why am I here? Not once. I believe in true vulnerability and in a healthy vulnerability is, dude, like, here's my life. Here's like, this is messed up, dude. Like, and for the other person to be like, first of all, I just want to remind you that you're loved by God.
Yeah.
That I love you no matter what. And again, for me personally, and I think this goes for a lot of people, the moment you have that true, genuine vulnerability, it's like, I'm in, dude. I'm your cheerleader. I'm your helper. I want to see you win. Like, no matter what, like I'm here for you. And so I feel like to answer the question, true vulnerability is just putting all your cards on the table, basically. All of them. You don't keep a ace in your pocket. You don't keep a king in your pocket. Like, you're not hiding anything. You're just like, here's what it is.
I have a question,
clarifying
question, because as you were talking, I like imagine, I don't know if anyone, I'm sure people are going to relate to this, but like you go to work and you know you're not going to be there for a long time, like, or it's not your career. And so there is friends there, like they're coworker friends, like you don't see them outside. No one knows them from your outside circle. They don't know you outside of work. So they're strictly work friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like vent, tell them everything about your life, like everything, all your drama, things that you wouldn't tell like a sister, because the sister would be like, what, and you're with him and why, you know, like things that you won't tell your best friend because they're so intertwined with your the rest of your life. Like you just let it all out to this coworker friend because it feels good and they do the same, and it's just like a like a relationship. Like what's the difference between that and true vulnerability? Or I guess, is there a purpose to vulnerability versus like a purpose to just like get your hair done and tell your hairdresser like everything that's going on in your life?
No, I believe that one of the purposes of vulnerability is connection. I believe when people don't practice vulnerability, those are the people that feel lonely. And one of these days I tried to do like a survey or whatever. It didn't pan out the way, like, I mean, we don't have that big a following or whatever, but I would have loved to like get like a survey of like, I don't know, 10K people. And because I wanted to ask the question, like in the last like 30 days or whatever, like, have you felt lonely? I feel like a good amount of people might have answered yes. And it's simply because they haven't had a connection with somebody. They've been more restricted with what they're sharing with people, right? And so, again, just answering your question, I believe one of the purposes of vulnerability is connection. Like, when you are not vulnerable, you're carrying everything by yourself. And you are not meant to do life by yourself. And so then I go to the whole fence and door thing. Like, your house is meant to habitate. Your house is meant to invite friends and break bread with them. But if you're not letting anybody in your house, like, yeah, you're going to be pretty lonely.
So what I hear you say is that in the case of like you just ranting and telling everything to your hairstylist or lash tech, you know, nails person, work bestie, whatever, that's just to kind of like offload, vent, but you're not inviting them to do life with you.
No.
Versus when you talk to a friend, it's like, I'm letting you in because you're someone I could trust. Like, we're doing life together.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need you or I want you to partake. Versus the other one, we know, like, we're not going to see them again. So it just feels good to just let everything out.
Yeah. And I feel like those are just the overshares that I was talking about. There's some people that just, they tell everybody everything, but there's not like true connections. And then they go around like, I'm super vulnerable, but like, I don't feel love. I still feel lonely. It's like, oh no, you need to like filter it down. You need to slow down. You need to stop oversharing and you need to start seeing like who really is there for you and then share with those people.
And for sure, I think like some requirements of maybe asking yourself, is this the person that I can overshare with? Is again, do you see them in your life? Do you see, and hopefully if you say yes, it's because they're mature or they have something in your life that like, you're like, I want that, or I can see myself. Like, we can better each other. It's not someone that they just are in it like for the chisme or like, I don't know, to get back at you or toxic. I do think that comes with like maturity and age where you're like, okay, is this just a friend that you've been kind of not dragging from high school, but just, you know, like, we have nothing in common, but we're just like besties since we were young. Or is this a friend that you see like, no, we're doing life together. Like, I aspire this aspect of them and it's iron sharpening iron. Like, those are the people that you want to practice vulnerability with and not the prior.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy how God works that like everything that we ever wanted always takes hard work. Or it takes courage, takes faith. Like, you practicing vulnerability, like, this is, there's no, like, formula. There is no way to get it 100% right every single time. Especially dealing with human beings, which they're going to let you down no matter what.
Yeah.
Even the most perfect friend might let you down once. And so then I think about Jesus and how he walked with 12 disciples. And the whole time he knew one of them was going to betray him. Yet he was still vulnerable. And so then I think, okay, like that means that we know what is right. We need to practice what is right. Regardless of, I might get let down. Mm-hmm. And that space right there is really difficult to attain because you need to be so rooted in who you are to have that type of confidence. And even then, like, it hurts, obviously, like it shakes you, especially if it's a really good friend or a really good family member, somebody that you super trusted and they let you down, like it hurts. But to get to that point, you must have that type of identity where you're just like confident. I'm like, Like you said, I know who I am. I know I have all these mistakes, but I know I'm loved regardless. And that's one of the hardest parts for a lot of people. I have all these mistakes and all these blemishes. I don't look anything like the picture perfect person, but I know I'm still loved. Mm. That space right there, first of all, is freedom. If you can get there, it's freedom. And we all, what's the right way to say it, babe? We're all worthy of it, or we all have a right to it, of just feeling like, I know I am, I have mistakes. I know I have blemishes, but I'm still loved.
That's good.
Like, if we can get to that space, like, yeah, it will become easier to be vulnerable. And it all starts first with you. It starts with you. And that's something that I've had to like learn. And I've, you know, I'm still like practicing the whole like my thing always with when I make a mistake, what it's the first thing I do, I say a negative word towards myself, you know? And like, that's obviously practicing like not that identity. That identity should be, I made a mistake. I know I'm still loved. I'm going to do better next time. And we're going to move forward, right? That's, I feel like that's so freeing. And then when you do that, then you get another level of freedom when you can be vulnerable with somebody and be like, walk with me, help me. And again, for a lot of people, a lot of what you've been desiring your whole life is on the other side of vulnerability. But you must be brave to take off that mask. And it's scary because, again, you might not like what you see in the mirror. So automatically you're just like, if I don't like it, nobody else is going to like it. But especially when you have those type of thoughts, you need somebody else's perspective. You need a loving person's perspective for them to look at you, all of you, and be like, I still love you. And to remind you, God still loves you. Like, I was sitting with somebody this past week and it was that exact thing. They just needed somebody else's perspective to remind them of truth. Because a lot of times when you're by yourself and you got all these thoughts going through your mind and you haven't been vulnerable with anybody, you haven't been open with anybody, the only thing that you have is your own thoughts. And your own thoughts sometimes are treacherous, especially when you haven't worked them out. And so you could be tumbling down this freaking mountain and you're just believing all these lies to be true. Then you end up practicing vulnerability with somebody else and that person speaks the truth over you and you're like, there's a ray of sunshine in my life where I did not have it before because this person is now giving me that fresh pair of eyes where they're not worried about my blemishes. Right now, they're worried about speaking truth over my life because I've been sitting here believing lies to be true. But that situation doesn't happen until you are brave enough to be like, I need to be vulnerable with somebody.
And practicing vulnerability, I think first should be done with God. Because if in your prayer time, whether you like praying audibly, in your head, journaling, whatever it may be, but if you can't be vulnerable to the God that you know is going to love you regardless of any blemish, regardless of anything, like He created you knowing what you are going to do and still loves you wholeheartedly. I feel like if we can't be vulnerable to God who we don't see, and I feel like that's easier in a sense, then it's going to be way harder to be vulnerable to someone who we do see and they're not like God who doesn't love unconditionally because they're practicing at it. And so I just recommend everyone listening, like, practice vulnerability first with God. Because again, if you can be vulnerable with Him, it'll be easier. I think it's harder to do it the other way around. Being vulnerable to someone who is flawed and is going to make mistakes. And you do see their reactions. But yeah, I feel like some of us still find it awkward of letting out our raw emotions to God. Maybe that's because we feel we're and worthy, and he's so holy, whether we feel like we failed him. But I think that should be made a practice.
Do you think that it's possible for you to not be vulnerable with God and yourself?
If it's not possible?
Do you think it's possible for you not to be vulnerable with God and yourself?
Yeah. Like praying and not being vulnerable?
Okay. But what about like, okay, let me rephrase. Do you think it's possible for you not to be vulnerable with yourself?
For sure. That's like stuffing your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing that I'm thinking about as you were speaking. Because I remember through exercises, through the therapy or whatever, like I had to go back in time and relive certain moments. And he would ask me, like, how do you feel? Mm. And I'm like, and this is where I think, like, yeah, I was not vulnerable with myself. Like, to the point that I was compartmentalizing a lot of things, meaning like it was just stuffing it. And I walked around most of my life like, it didn't affect me. I'm fine. Like, look at me. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? And you're kind of lying to yourself. Like, you're not being vulnerable with yourself.
Yeah.
And it was through these exercises of these situations that I had kind of like forgotten about it or put away.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, he was like, how do you feel? And I would just like start crying. Like, this sucks. This sucks. Like, I hate this feeling. Like, and so it just makes me think like, oh, there's times where we're not even vulnerable with ourselves. Like, how many things have we stuffed down? Like you said, how many things have we bottled up? How many things have we compartmentalized and just thrown away? And you're like, I never want to. And you walk away like, I'm fine.
That's why you can't love yourself, because you can't even be vulnerable with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's another thing that we encourage everybody, you know, like, do a self-examination, like, mm-hmm. do like some meditation and be like, let me go back and like, let me relive certain scenarios and like, just, am I being real with myself? Because my thing was always like, for survival mechanism, I'd be like, oh, I'm learning something from this, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I never really went through all the emotions, right? And so I was never vulnerable with myself. Like, hey, David, like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it just made me think, like, you're not vulnerable with yourself, then you can't truly really be vulnerable with God, and then obviously you can't be vulnerable with other people.
Yeah.
And so it's just like this humongous cycle and patterns of just you, like, building up this fortress of just solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because, you know, I've gone most of my life feeling like I just want to be loved. I just want to experience what true love is. But at the same time, I've been counterproductive because I've built up this fortress of solitude where now I'm like chipping away at it, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. It is hard. And I go back to, like, you know, the fence and, you know, letting people into like my actual house, and like, it's hard. I'm like, oh, I'm being vulnerable. And then I have to catch myself like, am I being vulnerable? Like, and like vulnerability, like say for me, like, oh, one day, our friend Nate, this is when we were going through a therapy, whatever. And he asked me like, oh, hey, how's therapy going? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's going good. And he's like, oh, what you guys have been talking about? And I'm like, oh, I think at the time we were talking about friendship, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I brought you up. And I forget how we got there, but we got to the point where Nate saw me hesitate. And he's like, just tell me, man. And I'm like, I wish we hung out more, man. Like, we never really talk. Like, we don't hang out. Like, I kind of told him, like, I feel like, you know, I forget what the words were, but it was almost like, I feel let down. Like, I feel like, you know, there's not a connection or whatever. And he's like, oh, like, I'm going to make a bigger
effort.
Yeah. And so that for me was vulnerability, because I felt off. Like, I was just like, I'm letting somebody into my heart. Like, I'm telling them like my true feelings, like that this sucks, that I don't like this. And not only that, but I'm like, I feel bad for saying this, because I'm like, then I kind of like criticize myself. I'm like, you're probably just being a baby and putting this unnecessary like weight on this person. And like, as I was talking to him, I found myself like trying to talk myself out of being vulnerable. And I don't really know if that's out of like me protecting myself or me truly being like, he doesn't deserve this or whatever. Yeah. But it's not easy. It's not, vulnerability is not easy. In the short term, it is much easier for you to protect yourself. But in the long term, you are, if we're talking about 1%, if we're talking about a plane, because Atomic Habits talks about this, and that's the whole analogy about the 1%. If a plane is taking off and you change the degree of where it's taking off by 1%, in the short term, you don't see much difference. You're like, oh, this plane is still going where it needs to go. But over time, that 1% changes the trajectory of this plane completely. And so instead of you going to New Jersey, you go to New York or whatever. Or, I mean, that's too close. But New Jersey, and you end up in like, I don't know, Canada or Toronto or whatever. And so in the same way, like, the decisions that you make are either going to get you to your destination that you really want to, or they're not. They're going to completely throw you off. And you got to ask yourself, what is it that I truly want? And I mean, I think everybody wants to feel what true love is, regardless if they believe it's a fantasy and it's not real or it's rainbows and butterflies. Everybody wants to feel love. But love does not come without vulnerability. But vulnerability is difficult. It's hard. And again, we've been conditioned to like protect ourselves at all costs. Nobody else is going to protect us. We got to protect ourselves. Nobody's going to have our back. Got to have our own backs. Nobody's going to watch out for my heart. I'm going to do it for myself. Or I've tried to give my heart to other people. And this is how I feel. I've tried to give my heart to other people, and I feel like they've taken it, they've thrown it in the dirt, they spit on it, they stomped on it, and then they gave it back to me, and they're like, here's a piece of junk. And like, when you feel like that, you're just like, yeah, like I never want to do this again. But if you truly are following in the footsteps of Jesus, you must continue to try. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that God is ever going to tell you, do not be vulnerable. He might be, do not be vulnerable with this specific person, but I don't think he will ever be like, I want you to be in solitude for the rest of your life. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I think even part of being a Christian, like loving our neighbor, like showing the love of Christ to others, it requires vulnerability, because they might, how you said, look at that love and say thanks but no thanks, or not even be that well-mannered and just straight up like spit at you for trying to, again, do the right thing and love on them. Mm-hmm. And so to love, it takes vulnerability, and to be loved, it's going to take vulnerability as well.
So the key takeaways from today: everything that you've ever wanted in regards to love is on the other side of vulnerability. You want support. You want help. You want somebody that's emotionally and, you know, time-wise just invested, that you feel like they really truly care about you. That's on the other side of vulnerability. We need to practice vulnerability. We need to practice it not only for you getting, reaping all the rewards of what comes with vulnerability, but we also need it to be able to show and practice, here's where I'm at completely. And again, regardless of all my blemishes, know that I am still loved. Because that's one of the most difficult things that we could do with just walking in life, is to make mistakes and know that you are still loved. Make mistakes and know that there's still a better tomorrow. Make mistakes and know that somebody's still rooting for you or encouraging you or giving you words of truth or giving you that fresh pair of eyes or that perspective that you need to be able to see truth clearly. Because so many times when we're by ourselves, we do not see clearly. We're fogged up. It's dark. There's shadows. Like, there's things that don't allow us to see clearly. And so I want to encourage you guys, practice vulnerability. If you are an overshare, slow down. Filter out the people and know who you should be trusting with that vulnerability. For the people that are more like turtles, if you're anything like me, you have maybe a handful of people that you can count on one hand that have stuck around for so long, regardless of if you've made them mad or if you've hurt them, they're still there. I would say trust those people, because those people have already proven that they love you through thick and thin. And to be able to gain that confidence, you must know that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. That you are loved no matter what, that there is grace, mercy, and forgiveness that is offered to you. And if you can accept that, and then you can start accepting yourself, then you will grow in confidence, you will be rooted in Christ, and you will be able to more easily be open with and vulnerable with others. Also, check yourself. Are you being truly vulnerable, or are you just moving that fence a little bit closer and you're like, I am being vulnerable. You're being kind of like an example of vulnerable, but you aren't being fully vulnerable. And people can tell if you're being genuine or not. And you might feel like, I'm being vulnerable and I'm not getting that connection. That's probably you. You haven't let people in the door. You have to take that leap of faith. You have to be brave. You have to be courageous, and you have to let people in and just know that when they see you and see all of you, that they're going to be there for you, and they're going to hug you, and they're going to kiss you, and they're going to just love you through everything. So we just want to encourage you guys, practice vulnerability. You're going to see that your life begins to shine a little bit more with vulnerability. Just know that people might let you down. It's a part of life. But keep going, keep moving forward, and don't shy away from being vulnerable. We just want to say that we love you guys, that we're cheering you guys on. Any stories that we hear from you guys, I mean, I know I am. I'm sure that she is. We're emotionally invested. We're in it. We want to see you guys win. Like, that's honestly part of like the joys of my life. If anybody shares any sort of vulnerability with me, I'm like, I'm in. I'm 100% your cheerleader. Any way that I can help, let's go. Like, and that for me is glorious. Like, if I can be there at the beginning process and then see like milestones, oh man, that gets me every time. And so, that's one of the reasons, again, why we do this podcast, to be able to help in any way possible and to be able to see you guys win in different areas of your life. So we love you guys. And we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.